K-State Nation, what's going on? Eddie Greer, back for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. I'm your host for this K-State Podcast, covering all things Kansas State. I am recording this on game day. That's right, game day, folks. Once again, here in Manhattan, Kansas, on the 17th of September, 2022. We get set for Tulane here in a little bit, and you know what time it is. Three up, three down segment before every game this season. I'm going to attempt to do that every – well, it's worked so far. I'm going to attempt to do this before every K-State game as well. I ain't going to waste any more time because, obviously, more coverage, if you have not downloaded already, of the Pro Watcher Podcast episodes between the dailies and the weekly. This week, you can find that on our feed wherever you listen to your podcast, or get your podcast, for that matter, whether that's Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, we're on that. We're on a couple other platforms as well, including Spotify as well. Let's get that Spotify up there a little bit more as well, folks. Here, but yeah, there's been a consistent feed of the trending here on this podcast, so we appreciate you doing that. If you're new to the podcast, welcome on board. Make sure you are subscribed. If you're not already, you want everyday coverage of K-State sports, Pro Project Podcast place to do it. All right, so after two games, K-State is 2-0, heading to this tricky game. And this has the feeling of, okay, we played South Dakota, right? Yes, so we played them, and I was trying to look, obviously, because you had Missouri on the other end, at home, try to get your focus on them, right? And this is the same kind of feeling, but double it. Because, obviously, Tulane, a consistent player, except for last year, they're 2-0 to start off the season here. And they're going to have no, you know, what's to give, whether K-State's playing Oklahoma in prime time next week or not. Because, so, that's the kind of the rumblings around here already. You got the alternative universe going to be busted out here in a little bit. We've seen them on blast on social media. So there's been a lot of hype, and there's a lot of annoyance, as was I heard on yesterday's Three More podcast. Get caught with that. Chris Klieman, not too pleased. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to see for sure what's going to go down here in just a little bit here at Bill Steiner Family Stadium, and we're supposed to get some. And for lucky for me, as much as I want to be there, will not be there today for this game. Obviously, we'll be watching this game from the ESPN Big 12 Now app on a television screen. Not only that, I'm gonna be keeping an eye on a few other college football games as well. So it's football time of day here, but three up. First one, Deuce. Yeah, Deuce fun. Two games already. I don't have my I don't have my notes, I should say, on me right now. But, and this streak started against TCU last year. He has chalked up over 100 yards rushing since then. A 9-game 100-yard streak he's on right now. And obviously, the highest mid-campaign on, right? Scored a touchdown against, a rushing touchdown against South Dakota in the opener. And then you turn around following that. You add in two more touchdowns along with that as well. And 145 yards rushing at that. He, adding that up, he's got to be over 300. If my memory is right on that as well. So Deuce Vaughn definitely. And it's very rare for a K-State team to come out and show that much emotion, like we saw leading up to the Missouri game last week, and then even a little bit afterwards as well, especially Chris Klieman and Deuce Vaughn. You wouldn't even mention those names in that same sense, as I mentioned there with that. But got to turn on the focus on the Tulane and take care of business is the motto here in this game here in a little while this afternoon at Bill Steiner Family Stadium. Got to take care of business. So, Deuce Vaughn, number one top sheet, going in the right direction, obviously, off to a great start. Three rushing touchdowns for him. Next two were actually, this was really hard. obviously, I mentioned this on the last week's three down. These are really hard to combobulate into three guys who are training up and training in the right direction, because I could make a good combination on several of these. But Ty Zentner, you're training in the right direction, and obviously he has been a consistent force in the punting game. He last week punted deep in the Missouri territory twice with Echo Boyo right there covering those kicks in the drenching rain last week. His average was 54 yards per punt last week as well. So Ty Zentner doing things. This is not the first time I said this on this show. So Ty Zentner doing amazing things right now, at least in the punting game. Special teams is obviously special teams, you like Adrian Martinez said in the post game. So I look for more of that and more special teams in a bit. And you probably know who I'm going to go with on the downside still. But anyways, the third and final one here, it was a toss-up for me between Cedar Mason, who got another interception, and a guy who's been coming off the bench as a depth piece, has been really been doing good. I'm going to hand the third one, since Cedar Mason got it last week, I'm going to hand this one to Brendan Mott. He made a couple tackles in the season opener against South Dakota, and then he was wreaking havoc on that O-line from Missouri there. Got another couple tackles there, tackle for a loss. So he's been, at least for two games, been very consistent with the numbers, and he's been causing havoc in the opponent's backfield. As I look for more of the same today. They're going to need it because Tulane loves to throw the football around and get guys in space, and they're going to need that D-line to be locked in. This is what it's all about today. Get locked in. Get your head right. And let's take care of this Tulane team so we can look forward to what Alex McCullough said. And we talked about this over the summer, a possible top 25 matchup. Knocking on the door of that, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself on that. So take care of Tulane. That's what task one is today. Take care of them. Brendan Mott has been. I don't think I mentioned him over the summer when we broke down these roster, when breaking down the K-State roster for this year. So this is what I was talking about. I mean, we talk about all these guys, but there's somebody they're not talking about that's going to make a big key factor early. Brendan Mott is that person. So Deuce Vaughn, Ty Zentner, Brendan Mott are trending up in the right direction for K-State. Flip the coin to the other side. In and down. Oh man. Well, it's pretty much easy, and for honorable mention here, I'm gonna go with the rain. It was miserable. That's for sure. The game was not, but the weather was absolutely terrible. Cold for one, soaked, all socks and everything, wet, two lightning delays. You can't play around with that, obviously. So kudos though to the K-State staff. I don't think it got mentioned a whole lot in the other podcast, so we're going to do it right now on game day. The K-State faculty and staff who put on these events, who let us in the doors, everything else, who take care of the facilities out there, they did a tremendous job. They even opened up Bramlage the second time around when we had that second lightning strike 6 minutes into the second quarter. Yeah, 6 or 7 minutes into the second quarter. We had that, and they let open it because it got jammed up in there, sitting in the concourse over there. So I'm happy they were able to let us at least sit in there for a little bit, even though felt like it was too quick. We sat in there, got comfortable, and we got to go right back out. I'm like, damn. So, I mean, all that aside, kudos to the staff for taking care of us fans, whether it was K-State or Missouri, for at least for letting us dry off for a little while. So that was awesome there. So with the rain, yeah, that was not fun. And who knows if the rain does not play havoc like it could be again today, we could have the voices that the record crowd that we're gonna have could it be even more of a factor. But with the people who were at the stadium who did not leave, it was already a factor anyway. So we got a comment from I read a comment on Twitter on one of the Mizzou people saying that the crowd was a problem. And it would have been more of a problem if we had full seats. But obviously with the rain, you don't want to sit out there too long. So there's that. All right, that's honorable mention there. And I probably could say honorable mention on the upside is Sincere Mason again for the second straight year. But, second straight game. But, you're an honorable mention Sincere. Two interceptions within the first two games of the season for Sincere Mason doing some big things there. Meanwhile, who's not doing big things right now? Wide receiver core. And particularly, who I'm going to give this to. It was between Kate Warner and Malik Knowles. I got to give it to Kate Warner on this one. on train down on this one this week. Yeah, he had a couple penalties. I believe last week, 2 weeks ago, he had a couple of crucial holding calls as well. So, Kate Warner, you got to get yourself right, man. And also, try to catch the football. Malik Knowles in that same category, too. Malik, you're lucky you're not on this list either, but Kate Warner, I gotta put you on it. So you're trending down. Anthony Frias, who's on this podcast over the summer. You have not checked out the episode, by the way. Please find it. It's in our archives, Purple Project Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Look for it. Awesome conversation with him coming in to camp, to Manhattan, and looking forward to the season. So I ain't gonna spoil any more of that. So you gotta go download and check it out. It's a good listen there, along with several other good special guest listens as well. But Anthony Frias, the second, you're on the down list this week. And not even that Missouri touchdown, he don't fumble right there. Missouri doesn't even have a squandering chance of even sniffing the end zone there as well. And from what I've heard, and I said it on the weekly this week, episode 120, that from what my friend's other half said, that was not a touchdown. So, I mean, you don't fumble that football right there. I mean, yes, that's not what you're all about. You're an awesome dude. We have you on this podcast. But you don't fumble right there. Missouri not even scoring. They're not even sniffing that end zone, baby. So you're on the down list this week. And last but not least, I'm telling you, it's hard. When you're winning football games is fun. It's hard to really figure out who's on the down line individually. But Chris Tennant, you're still on the down list here. You missed a couple kicks here and there. And got to find more, a little more. Cause yes, he did hit his last couple. He did that, but... hey, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole again. If you've been listening for quite a while, since the beginning of the season started, you know my stance is on that. So, hey, this is another get-right game for you, my friend. So get yourself right, get the confidence, and I think making those last kicks for Chris Tennant should go along with building his confidence, because K-State... whether we like it or not, you're going to need Chris Tennant at some point, throughout the season. At some point in the season, he's going to be needed to make big kicks to win football games. So, Chris Tennant, you got to get right. I want to see better consistency as well. And what's also not really talked about, and this is honorable mention as well, I got to go to AM9. Adrian Martinez. Again, rain and all that, I understand, all that other stuff, but I went back to South Dakota, and he fumbled once, and we know, obviously, he has not turned the football over, which is awesome, because that's the knock on him. He'll turn the football over, and other points will score. He has not done that yet, but he's come close. Not trying to jinx it, but I just want to point that out there, since I don't think nobody else has out there either. He's fumbled twice but hasn't given it away. So we all know that stat, though. That's been spread across the K-State podcast out there. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that attention. Yeah, two fumbles. Yeah, I didn't realize he fumbled in the opener against South Dakota. I mean, because I'm in the stands and being too distracted. But yeah, I'll be where it's dry today. Where it's dry, we will be back on the next home stand. The first conference opener, home opener anyways, when Texas Tech comes calling, I think in early October. I think that is right on that. But yeah, absolutely. So Adrian Martinez, got to be careful. Again, this is a focus. This is kind of what a locked-in game here. Get yourself right. Get yourself locked in. And Tulane is usually, and still is, a pretty good bowl team, except for last year with... I didn't realize they were in spending the month due to what happened over there in Birmingham. So yeah, I mean that's rough, especially for a college team, a university college football team going through that type of stuff. That sucks right there. But Tulane, they turned the page now to 2-0. They blasted their first two opponents, and it's going to be really see. I'm really intrigued to see this defense. This K-State defense today going after this Tulane offense here. We'll see how they slow them down. I think they can. For what it is, slow starts, I can definitely see that given the fact that, yes, the team down south in the state of Oklahoma waiting for us next Saturday night, I can see that as well. But afterwards there, I think this could be one of those games that the K-State defense rises to the occasion here and does something big like they have. So I think Felix gonna get after it. Brennan Mott and those guys, they're gonna get after it. And if to win games, you're gonna have to slow down this offense. This is what you're gonna see. Alex pointed this out in episode 120 of the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. You're gonna have to slow these teams down. This is offense is what you're gonna see. Obviously, next week is a perfect example of that. Oklahoma State, veteran quarterback there. Baylor has their share as well. Iowa State throw them in the mix there. So yeah, absolutely, this is what you're going to see more likely. So from here on out, K-State definitely has to get right in a secondary and continues their pursuit. And I also like I don't want to get too off the rails here, but Kobe Savage has done savage things, baby. I like him. I've raved about him over the summer, and he looks good after two games. So I could, like I said, I could have put him in there as well, but already announced that as well. See, I told you it's really hard to, especially when our team is winning, to put it the down category into three individual people. But you can find those little loopholes as well, and I'm definitely going to find loopholes today because I'm going to be paying close attention to the TV screen, cheering from the crib today as K-State takes on Tulane here. In a little bit, the Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. And again, for those of you new to the podcast, welcome aboard. Make sure you spread the word. Continue to spread the word. You love what you're hearing between me and my co-host Alex Aiden. Please, spread the word to your fellow K-State friends out there who love sports and love football in general. That's going to do it on the 3-up, 3-down this week ahead of Tulane. K-State looking to go 3-0. Eddie Greer, go Cats. Another edition of the Pro Project Podcast rolls on.